All right, it's time to talk with our featured guest, Scott Anderson. Scott, how's it going, man?
Good. How are you, Michael?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Thanks for asking. How's the weather like where you're at right now? Or where are you right now, if you can let us know?
We're located in Madison, Wisconsin. So it's kind of early fall for us. It's in the high 70s kind of overcast.
Nice, nice. Yeah, that's good, man. Home of, like, isn't that the Packers?
Yeah. home of the Packers, and we live in Madison, which is the home of the Badgers, the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Right. So we've got two teams to cheer for here.
Right now, who are you supporting more?
I'm actually pretty neutral on sports. I just enjoy watching it kind of vicariously when my son is watching.
Ah, okay, gotcha. Yeah. I know sometimes whenever, like, there's two teams that I don't like playing, I'm just like, I'm rooting for the winner, whoever the winner is. You know what I mean? That's just, I'm like that bandwagon.
Yeah.
But yeah. All righty, Scott. So tell us a little bit about your past, present, and future and how you got to where you are today.
Sure. I also want to begin by thanking you for the opportunity to be on your podcast and share a little bit more about our background, in the hopes that some of our experiences would be helpful for your listeners. So in terms of your question regarding the past, my wife and I started Artisan Dental in 2014, and we were influenced by the principles of the conscious capitalism movement. Mm-hmm. And there's four key tenets in the conscious capitalism movement. One is having a higher purpose as an organization. The second is using what's called a multi-stakeholder orientation. And that essentially means that as a business, we're looking to serve and create value for all of the stakeholders connected to our business. And we can talk a little bit more about how Artisan thinks about stakeholders further in the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then the third tenet is conscious leadership, and then creating a conscious culture. So my wife, having practice for almost 15 years prior to that, really wanted to spread her wings and together express some of these principles that we really found were core to both our previous professional careers, our involvement volunteering in the community, mm-hmm. And even how we were raising our family. So that's a little bit about the past. And as we progressed in the evolution of the business in 2016, we learned about a certification called B Corp certification, which is a certification for whole organizations, much like we're familiar with certifications on a product specific basis, like, for example, organic, or maybe an Energy Star appliance, or a LEED certified building. Mm-hmm. And so we pursued B Corp certification really to demonstrate to our stakeholders that we were bringing our mission, vision, and values to life. And we received that certification in 2017. Okay. And throughout this process, employing these principles, we really found that it creates a tremendous amount of benefit for all stakeholders, and really fuels the success of a business in a very integrated and holistic way. Just to kind of give listeners a sense of that progression, since we started in January of 2014 with just my wife as a dentist and five other team members, we've now grown to an organization where we'll be welcoming our fourth dentist in October, and we have over 20 people on staff, attracting over 5,000 patients. Wow. So the principles have really been successful in terms of more kind of conventional business metrics.
Okay. What principles are those?
Right. So in terms of kind of unpacking those core principles of conscious capitalism, the first idea is that of a higher purpose. So within the kind of conscious capitalism philosophy or framework, this higher purpose is really important because it helps orient all of the activities and strategies and tactics of the organization to really serve something that ideally goes beyond our individual interests, mm-hmm. and is also something that can be served in a kind of ongoing way.
Gotcha.
And we've really, yeah. So in essence, it can be served in perpetuity. It's an ongoing act of service, and we found that to really be central in terms of, for example, with our patient stakeholder group, really demonstrating to them that we're interested in creating impact that certainly includes exceptional oral health care, but also extends to include having a beneficial social impact, a beneficial environmental impact. When we communicate that, I think one of the primary functions that it serves is it lets people know more about what are our core values, what's our true intent, which I think gives them a greater ability to trust us and notice if there's a sense of alignment with kind of their goals, their worldview, and the kind of organization that they want to be ideally in a long-term relationship with.
So that's the higher purpose, right? For example, mm-hmm. So let's just say I'm a dentist and I'm thinking about this and I'm trying to think of like my higher purpose. Do you hear this a lot where people say kind of like, oh, I just want to provide care. Like I am a dentist that cares the most, right? Is that a good enough answer? Or like what answer would suffice? Like what answer are you looking for here?
Well, I think it's a really good question, and I think if the answer comes from a place of authenticity and genuineness, whatever that answer is for that particular dentist or group of dentists, I think would suffice. And I think there's likely more efficacy, or there's more likelihood of generating interest amongst your team, your patients, if it has an emphasis on serving certainly the patient, but also having a larger scope of service to include some of those ideas I talked about earlier, a social impact, an environmental impact. For example, is it a mission that's fostering the professional and personal growth of your team? Does it have, for example, aspects of it that have to do with really kind of timeless values like ethical integrity, love, compassion. So those would be some other ways that I think we could expand it.
Yeah, I like that. And then so,
but it has, yeah. So it has a kind of transcendent quality beyond our individual interests.
Yeah. You're right. And I feel like this is a good way to screen, like, your team, right? Like, okay, is my team going to be, is it all aligned? You know what I mean? Do we all believe in this higher purpose, or is the reason you came here because of like my mission statement or my higher purpose, right? Like, do you love that, right? And maybe like in the interview process, if they're just like, oh, I just want a paycheck, you know what I mean? Like, I'm just trying to get by. You kind of can feel like, oh, they never brought this up, right? They never said, like, let's just say my purpose was to care the most in the community. They never brought that up, right? They never brought how they care for the patients or anything. So I feel like that's a good way to screen, right? Like your team?
No, I think you're absolutely right. And it's a good way to get a sense of also, is their internal motivation something that includes certainly their paycheck and their benefits, but also it extends outward. And I think you're really pointing to really the answer to the question of motivation, outperformance, consistency of performance over time, mm-hmm. that if for the team it comes initially from inside of them, that they have this internal motivation inherently, and that they can find an organization that aligns with that motivation, so much of the work that organizational development specialists focus on in terms of, you know, incentives and motivation, they kind of just naturally are handled.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right about that. That's good. So then if we move forward, you also said the next principle was serve and create value for stakeholders. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. So stakeholders are essentially any individual or group that has an influence on your company's health and well-being. Mm-hmm. So at Artisan Dental, we think about five main stakeholder groups. We think about our patients as one, our team members are the second stakeholder group, then the community, both locally and globally. We think about our suppliers, or vendors, as they're traditionally called. We often think about them as partners. Mm-hmm. And then the fifth group for us is the planet, the biosphere itself. So when we're doing business planning, for example, on a yearly basis, we literally take each stakeholder group and we ask ourselves, you know, how did we do serving them this past year? And what do we want to do next year to serve them more completely or better?
So if we can be nosy, this year, what did you guys decide for patients?
Right. So for patients, what we decided to do is we decided to expand our provider capacity by hiring additional associate dentists and also hiring additional support staff. That includes clinical assistants and then also hiring additional front desk staff.
Got you. And do you mainly base this off of what? So for example, if you're like, okay, how are we going to improve our stakeholders, or how are we going to improve the group of patients, right? Are you guys like basing this off of some type of statistics, or are you just saying like, you know what, we need a new assistant, or we need more of this, or do the patients mm-hmm. say something and then you're like, ooh, they're saying they're having to wait too long for an appointment because there's not enough people, or like, how do you guys base it off?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. And it's really all of the things that you just mentioned. We look at, for example, you know, new patient growth, and do we have the capacity within our current schedule to accommodate them? And the other sort of more subtle pieces that you talked about in terms of, you know, how long are they having to wait for their treatment appointment if they had something diagnosed? How quickly can an emergency patient get in if they have a cracked tooth over the weekend? So all of those are kind of signals to us that we may want to make an adjustment.
Wow, okay, got you. So then for team, what'd you guys do?
So in the team category, and this is a kind of an interesting example of a connection to another stakeholder group, we offered a subsidy for them to use alternative transportation. These alternative transportation options could include anything from walking to biking, skateboarding, taking the bus, carpooling, using an electric vehicle. So we offer a subsidy if they chose one of those modes of transportation to work. Mm-hmm. And so when thinking about that in connection to our other stakeholders, if they're, for example, walking or biking, that has a benefit in terms of our environmental stakeholder or the planet, because there's less carbon emissions. And then there's also a concurrent benefit for the team member themselves, because they're getting, you know, they're enjoying the benefits of walking and getting physical exercise on the way to work.
Got you. So how'd you break that to the team? Like, for example, there's a team of 20, right? You said, and mm-hmm. you offered alternative transportation. So specifically, like, did you like ride share, or did you get them cars, or like what?
Yeah. So it's a dollar subsidy per day. So each day that they took one of those forms of alternative transportation, we would basically pay them a dollar a day.
Oh, wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if they were to walk mm-hmm. ride the bike or something, right? So what constituted for them not to get that dollar a day? They drove or?
So, right. So if they were just taking a car to work mm-hmm. with just themselves in the car, that would be kind of what we would consider our baseline or non-alternative transportation benefit.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I like that. How did the team react to that?
You know, I was not at the meeting when that was introduced to the team,
uh-huh.
so I can't give you firsthand experience.
But they're now, like now, people, do they talk about it? Do they say anything? I mean, that's different. That's so different. You know what I mean? Like to make sure that they're, because it's kind of like as an owner or, you know what I mean, as a leader, you're kind of letting them know, like, look, I care about your health. And we also care about the environment here. It's a bigger picture, right? So.
Yes.
It's kind of like you're saying, look, I'm going to reward you for doing this. You know what I mean? It's better than not rewarding them at all and just letting them know. You know what I mean? At least you're rewarding them. And then it's different and it's cool because they can talk about it to other people, right? Like, hey, man, my dentist is this or my, you know what I mean? I like that.
Yes.
It's different enough to talk about.
Yeah. Well, thanks.
Okay.
Another example is we purchase what are called employee assistance programs mm-hmm. For our employees. So this is a program that's available that they can use to, for example, get assistance finding childcare in the community. Or if they have maybe aging parents, they can receive assistance regarding elder care in the community. They might also call a counselor on the telephone and talk about maybe a child that's having a challenge in their schooling. And that includes also in-person counseling, as well as telephonic guidance regarding financial and legal planning. So this is a service that we thought that would help create more work-life balance and mm-hmm. help with solving those challenges that may come up in our personal life.
Got you. Okay, I like that too. So when it comes to community stakeholders, what do you guys do for that?
Right. So one of the interesting programs that we offer that's very much connected to your work in ground marketing is a program called the Artisan Dental Wellness Series.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is it's a quarterly free complimentary wellness program that's offered to our patients, and they're welcome to bring a friend. And then all of our team members and their families are welcome to attend. So what we do is we cultivate a partnership with a health expert in the community, and we invite them to offer a one-hour program that explains their health modality and then gives some sort of experiential taste of that healthy practice. And this, I think, is a really good example of when you're thinking in a multi-stakeholder framework, you can see opportunities like this that are beneficial for, in this particular example, patients and their friends can come and they can learn about wellness. So that's a benefit for patients.
Mm-hmm.
Our team members can participate, so that's a team member benefit. We're creating awareness regarding this health practitioner's business because we promote this on social media. We promote this in a newsletter that goes out to 5,000 people. So their business may benefit. We're simultaneously creating a relationship with that healthcare practitioner. So that they're more aware of our services, we're more aware of their services, and it just builds a sense of community. And it's a great way for us to kind of bring our values to life. One of our values is fun. So these can be fun programs. We've had, you know, the benefits of beer as a program, or the benefits of seasonal cooking, or benefits of tea. So they can be fun activities where people are focused on this larger theme of health and wellness. And then if we bring it all the way back full circle to oral health care, it gives us an opportunity when we're introducing the program to new patients at the front counter to talk about the fact that this is a way for us to bring our mission to life. Our mission is to optimize the health and happiness of our stakeholders using exceptional quality care and sustainable business practices. So then the patient can sense already some congruence between what our stated mission is and the actual programs that we're offering for free. And then lastly, it's very connected to the link between oral health and systemic health. So it gives us an opportunity if, for example, the hygienist or the dentist is talking about, you know, the program coming up later this week, gives them an opportunity to just mention, you know, one of the reasons we do this is that we know that there's an interrelationship between oral health and systemic health.
Scott, that is freaking brilliant. I'm taking so many notes right now. So many questions from this. So then, okay, let's just say somebody's listening and then they're like, oh my gosh, like light bulb, right? That is brilliant. How do you go about starting that, like the community program? Like, let's just say there's a dermatologist across the street or maybe a coffee shop or whatever, right? Or a physician. And you're like, I want to partner up and I want to introduce them to like, hey, well, like the artisan dental wellness program, right? How do I like, or obviously they're going to use their own practice name, right? So like the Michael Dental Wellness Program. How do I start this? And then how do I approach, you know what I mean? Like approach the dermatologist and tell them, and if they're not on board, like how does this all work? How did you start it? Hey everybody, just want to take a second to ask a quick question. It takes a little setup, so bear with me for a bit. Think about the last time you bought something online. It was pretty simple, right? You just found what you needed, clicked the cart icon, and got everything delivered to your door. Three steps. Maybe not even that many if you have Amazon Prime. And it all took literally one click. Now think about this. Imagine making the same purchase from the same company, except the purchasing process goes like this. First, you have to write an email or make a phone call to the selling company. If you don't get them during normal business hours, you have to wait for them to get back to you, which could take a couple days if it's the weekend or a holiday. Next, the company responds with an email or a call at a time convenient for them, which is probably while you're working. Then you discuss the details of the purchase with the company, product specifications, shipping estimates, all that. Finally, you pay them and get the product you want delivered. If you had to do all that, would you still have bought that product? I know I probably wouldn't. It's a ridiculous way to do business in 2019. Once you've tried something faster and better, you probably don't want to go back to something slower and worse, right? But if you don't have real online scheduling, not just an appointment request, if you guys can't see me, I'm doing air quotes, appointment request, that's exactly what you're asking your patients to do. They took the time to find you. They're ready to schedule an appointment, but there's no shopping cart button. They have to take all those steps we just talked about. And since they don't want to do that, they're far less likely to purchase. That is, they're less likely to wind up in your chair. LocalMed is to your practice website as the shopping cart button is to Amazon. That is what separates LocalMed from other so-called online scheduling services. They click a button, they choose an appointment time, they get that appointment time. Best of all, you stay in control. Patients can only book during times that you mark as available. They can't get an appointment if you don't want them to have one. They can even fill out insurance forms as they schedule, streamlining the process for everyone. Hundreds of dentists have already tried it and loved it, especially because the average LocalMed client gets over a 40-to-1 return on their investment. Yeah, they ran the numbers again, guys, and it's over 40 now. So that's not too good to be true. That's the way online scheduling should be. In fact, nothing else is really online scheduling. Try it yourself today by visiting localmed.com or go in the show notes below, click on the LocalMed logo or the LocalMed link, and tell them I sent you and get 10% off your setup fee. So go to localmed.com.
Yeah, that's a good question. So one of the things we thought would be helpful would be, you know, to give it its own kind of brand and logo. So we created that. And then we created a web page that describes the program. And that web page is a place for all the companies we work with to have kind of their name listed as an enduring link on our web page. So that helps with their SEO. And we also have little paper, they're like little business cards that we hand out to new patients talking about the program. And sometimes we'll do an 8.5 by 11 fat card that's in a clear, you know, vertical holder in the office that's promoting the next wellness series. But in terms of, you know, your question regarding reaching out to the actual partner organization, it was just very simple. I created an email. I gave them a couple paragraphs about the series and our intent and asked if they would be interested in partnering. And I pointed out the benefits for their organization, what we felt were the benefits for our organization, and just kind of got their feedback.
Have you ever gotten someone who said no?
We haven't, no.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, what do we do in that scenario? But if not, then that's perfect, man. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, so that's, so far, all these stakeholders from the patients, team, and the community, the ones we talked about so far, all have something insanely important to contribute, right? And at the same time, you're contributing to them, right? And it's all something people can talk about. So the next one is suppliers. How does that one work?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we meet frequently with our dental supply representative. And one of the suggestions that we've had for them, really the last couple of years, and we kind of keep evolving how we think it may be beneficial for them, is to think about creating a rating system for the sustainability of all of the products that they carry in their catalog. And as a further step, they could maybe even think about creating a sustainability rating system for the companies themselves as a whole in their catalog. So that was kind of one suggestion we had for them to differentiate themselves in the marketplace that also has a simultaneous benefit for us, because if we could have that type of rating system, for example, within our ordering system, let's imagine it's on a 5-star basis per product, that would help us direct our purchasing dollars towards more sustainable products, thus building a kind of marketplace for those manufacturers who are creating more sustainable products. And then we also even suggested to them that they could consider introducing a green formulary, or it could be branded differently. It could be like a green dental toolkit. And this would basically have a list of, it could be 25 to 100 different products that are best in class in terms of sustainability metrics that would simply be substitutes for their existing consumable dental supplies. So this would be things like gauze pads and cotton balls that everybody uses. And that would be a real differentiator for the supplier to be able to walk into a dental office and say, you know, I've heard that you've had an interest in sustainability issues and caring for the environment. We've developed this new formulary or this new toolkit where you can take, you know, these 50 different categories of products that you're already purchasing and you have to purchase, and we'll just evolve them to a more sustainable manufacturer's product.
Gotcha.
And I think, I think this would be really differentiating for the distributor. Because research is really showing us that the millennial generation and the Gen Z generation, they're very keenly interested in businesses that are making a social and environmental impact beyond just providing their product or service.
Okay.
So with the millennials now being the largest generational cohort in the workforce, that's a pretty big demographic, I think, that a company or a dental supplier that was an early mover could take advantage of.
Yeah. Has any of them pulled the trigger on that? Do you know?
The supplier we work with has not.
Oh, man. Okay. So right now for the stakeholder under suppliers, it's more like where you're trying to brainstorm with them on ways they can better mainstream their services?
Got you.
Okay.
Right. And it might include something as simple as giving them a positive recommendation to a potential client that is considering their services. It could also be something very simple like that.
Okay. That was good. And then last one is about the planet. Okay. Talk to us about that one. How does this help not just you, right? Obviously it helps the planet, but at the same time, how does it help, like, if a new patient is like, hey, I heard about you guys because of this, right? Mm-hmm. How does it help the planet one?
Yeah, it's a really good question. So I can maybe offer two examples. The first is we've developed our own dental membership plan that we call the Artisan Dental Health Plan. Mm-hmm. And 1% of the revenue from that product is designated as a 1% for the planet brand or product. And what 1% for the planet is it's a nonprofit organization that allows companies to designate either 1% of their whole company revenue, 1% of a brand's revenue, or 1% of a product's revenue to be contributed to environmental groups. And the nonprofit 1% for the planet in Vermont, they have a list of approved nonprofits that you could donate to, and mm-hmm. you can also suggest nonprofits. But what this offers is the ability for us to align with the goodwill of their brand, use their logo, and share with our patients, this is one way that we're dedicated to the environment. And that brand, 1% for the planet, is gaining increasing consumer recognition. And then the second example is we purchase 100% of our electricity from renewable energy sources provided by our local utility, Madison Gas and Electric. Hmm. So they purchase electricity from wind turbines and solar installations. And so we can essentially pay a little bit more on our utility bill. It ends up being about $1,200 more per year for us. A couple of years ago, we placed an 8.5 by 11 fact card, just again in a clear brochure holder in all mm-hmm. of our ops, in the waiting rooms, at the front desk. And we actually had a patient share in her patient review on Google, you know, that she had an excellent patient experience, and she kind of added at the end, she said, and I love the fact that all of their electricity is coming from renewable sources. So this is a little anecdote for us that, one, patients are noticing that, two, they're resonating with it, they're aligning with that same sort of ethic or intention. And moreover, this just turned into, you know, positive external marketing for us through, I think, a very credible source, her own patient review in her own voice.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't even have to tell her, right? Like, hey, don't forget about leaving it about the energy, right? Like, no, they're just, like, on their own. They're impressed by that. And you know what? That's going to also, when people read reviews, that's that extra push, you know what I mean? That makes them want to... Oh, you know what? Let me go to Artisan Dental. I like that.
Yes, and you can have fun with it with a little marketing piece. Like our catchphrase was approximately, you know, your oral health care powered by the wind and the sun. You know, so it can be kind of fun and light.
Yeah, I like that. So this, how long have you been? How long has Artisan Dental been open for?
We started in January of 2014. Okay. So we're a little bit past 5 years.
And when did you implement this, like, program, pretty much? Like, all of this?
Yeah. You know, it was a gradual process of implementing this program, these programs, over the first really year and a half, just because we had limited staff to actually operationalize it. We became, for example, a certified B Corporation in 2017. So that's relatively recent. And that's had kind of an amplifying effect based upon the fact that the certification is conferred by a nonprofit. And so it has a third party independence that I think enables patients and team members and suppliers to really trust that the certification means something because it's coming from an outside entity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just in terms of maybe linking that back to stakeholders, we surveyed our team, and our team has indicated that they've had conversations where patients have indicated that they have referred new patients to us because of our B Corp certification, and that they have remained loyal as patients because of our B Corp certification. So It really becomes a differentiator in the marketplace in terms of fostering loyalty, but it also becomes a real, I think, easy and almost a point of pride that a patient can use when suggesting to a friend or family member, you know, hey, I think this is a dental practice that you may align with. So it makes it easier for them to make the recommendation.
It's almost...
And maybe even feel good about it.
Yeah, exactly. It's kind of almost like, you know what I mean? Like, you've seen the shoes or Patagonia or Tom's, right? You see those, right?
Yes.
And then you're kind of like, do you get them? Yeah, maybe because of their style or color or the way they feel. But at the same time, you know what they're really doing behind it, right? Like, you know that they're giving. And you know how they're, like, helping out as well, the community, the planet, all these things. So a lot of the times, you're mainly getting it because of that, right? Or 50-50, right? 50-50, because you're getting it because of that. But no matter what,
yes.
it's like a, like you said, almost like a bragging point where you're like, oh, this is the reason why we're doing this. Because these shoes, they do this, right? Or this clothes, it does this, right? That's why we're paying that much for it. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. And it is bringing a specific type of patient, right? It's not bringing in so many, like, patients who say, what's the cheapest I can get this for, right? It's more like, they like, what's your patient base look like right now, primarily?
Demographically, it's relatively young. About 65% of our patients are under the age of 40. So it does kind of align with what the research suggests about millennial and Gen Z's resonance with a business that has a larger set of goals.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, you're right.
And creating impact.
Got you. So then, if we rewind a little bit, you know how you said at the beginning you had limited staff? How can someone who's like listening to this, who has limited staff, maybe it's just the doctor and themselves or the doctor and two people, how can they start doing this?
I think probably the best place to start is at the mission, vision, and values, because that will really be a guiding North Star in terms of the day-to-day decisions that everyone makes and the kinds of programs that are arrayed around that mission and vision. We reference it frequently in our decision-making. So I think that would be the best place to start. And then I think the next piece would be to define what are the stakeholder groups that are important for your organization. And then underneath that, you know, even if we're visualizing these stakeholders across the horizontal axis on a spreadsheet, underneath those categories, you can, it might be fun just to brainstorm regarding what are some initiatives or some programs that we might create to serve each of those stakeholders. And, you know, to your point, if it's a small staff, maybe start really small, maybe just pick one initiative for each of the stakeholders. And then you can start to evaluate, you know, which initiative would seem like it would have the biggest return on investment. So, for example, consistent with ground marketing, something like the wellness series, I think, has a lot of benefits for many different stakeholders at the same time. So I would point to that as something that would be more optimal with a high ROI.
Yeah, that is, man. I really like that. I really like that a lot, the wellness program. Like, it's something that I think we can dive into for like 2 or 3 hours. But right now, with this program and everything, like, how many new patients are you getting monthly?
We're at about 125 new patients. Wow. And we really, yeah. And we stopped external marketing in the fall of 2016. And we became a certified B Corp in the spring of 2017. And from the fall of 16, we have not spent any money on external marketing. And it's and really 125 is about the most that we can take simply because we're constrained in terms of our facility.
Gotcha.
So we're kind of hemmed in that sense. I think it would be much higher than that if we had more physical space.
And right now, are you like the insurances that you take? Is it all kinds or no insurance, or how is that looking?
Yeah, we take just three. Delta Dental, Guardian, and Emeritus. And then we have our in-house membership program as well.
How are you presenting your in-house membership program? Like, are a lot of people signing up for it? How is that looking?
Yeah, it's plus or minus 350 people out of, 5,500 patient practice. So it's less than 1%. We find that there's kind of two main demographics. One is a demographic that's near retirement, but not at retirement, that they may have had their dental insurance discontinued at their employer and they're looking for a supplement until Medicare begins. And then mm-hmm. there's also kind of a younger demographic that might be involved in starting a new business themselves, or they might be in the gig economy. And so it's a great way to bring people back to oral health care that previously thought it's too expensive or maybe it doesn't matter. And it's really focused on prevention for the whole family, including a perio plan. And we also highlight the ease of use in terms of the fact that it doesn't have deductibles or pre-auths or yearly maximums or waiting periods or hidden fees or exclusions for elective care. So there's a lot of freedom associated with it.
Gotcha. Okay, I like that. And so on the last part that you mentioned for one of the principles was conscious leadership. Talk to us a little mm-hmm. bit about that. What if you can manage all of your patient communication from one place? Weave makes it easy with the smartphone system, powerful two-way texting, automated appointment reminders, easy online reviews, and convenient payment requests, and more. We have a special deal for our listeners. Go to try.getweave.com/thedentalmarketer to schedule a demo, and you will receive 50% off the activation fee and up to 10 phones for free. Again, that's try.getweave.com/thedentalmarketer. And guys, don't worry, you can just go in the show notes below and click on the Weave image or click on the link to get this special deal and see how Weave can help you do so much more.
Yeah, so conscious leadership, I think, is it's a form of leadership where your awareness is really broad, and the multi-stakeholder orientation helps broaden that out mm-hmm. because you're asked to think about a wider circle of stakeholders and influencers in your business. But on the vertical axis, it's also about fostering depth of meaning, depth of contribution, depth of service. And that's really paced by the purpose and vision and values again. So it's an orientation that's also interested in fostering people's professional and personal growth and development holistically, and kind of dissolving this really imaginary kind of wall that people sometimes create between work and personal life, mm-hmm. because we're really whole people, and we bring what happened that morning in conversation with our children to work, or last night with our spouse, you know. And if we have an ailing parent that we're also caring for as a part of the sandwich generation, that has an effect on work. So I think to the extent that leaders are, again, conscious of all of these different influences, they can be much more empathetic, much more compassionate, and serve in a wise way that's that's really making contributions to the wider world at every level.
I like that. You're right. We are a whole person in the sense of we can't really just shut it down all the time. You know what I mean? If something happened in the morning, you can't just flip a switch. I mean, we act like we can. We can fake it, but that's hard. So then what do you recommend? Let's just say that does happen. Like, let's just say I get in an argument in the morning or something happens or like a patient upsets me or I had a horrible day. How can we turn that into a positive? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good question. And I think this relates to that fourth tenet, which is conscious culture. And ideally, you know, if we're living our values as an organization, we would hope that a team member would feel comfortable coming to the office manager or the director of business development or my wife and, you know, simply share, you know, I had, you know, a rough night last night. I was up late caring for my parents and I'm really tired. And that could hopefully engender empathy and compassion on the part of our leadership team, you know, and just, I think just being able to share that and have it acknowledged, I think actually does a lot towards recreating balance and healing within the person. Just that act alone. And then it might involve something on a logistical level where maybe that person's responsibilities that day are adjusted a little bit just based upon, you know, their energy level or their sense of, you know, mental well-being or emotional balance.
Yeah.
So it's a kind of culture where there's this open, fluid exchange of information that allows us to flex flow in the moment. And that flex flowing is hopefully suffused with wisdom and love and empathy and compassion.
If it's not fused with that, does that mean like we have like a poison in the team or, you know what I mean? Like somebody who, you know how when you walk into a place, you kind of sense some negativity?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's a real potential for that type of experience to be met with a kind of matter of factness that maybe isn't as sensitive, and that's definitely in the realm of possibilities. And that again may be related to, you know, the state of the leadership team that day. And so we really try to be spacious in recognizing that sometimes, you know, there might be a number of people in the office that are not having their best day or just feeling a little bit off. So we don't always get it right. And I think it's probably unrealistic to think that every organization will always get it right because we're human at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right. Scott, man, I appreciate you so much, man. Thank you for taking the time out of the busy day to be on the podcast. If you can, tell our listeners where they can find you.
Sure. They can learn more about Artisan Dental at artisandentalmadison.com. They can learn more about Certified B Corps at bcorporation.net. They can learn more about Conscious Capitalism at consciouscapitalism.org. And I also want to thank you, Michael, for having us on the program and for your curiosity around this subject. I think there's just so many points of connection and alignment with your whole philosophy with ground marketing. And I think it's a kind of a way of being of service in the world that we're going to just see more and more of in the future.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I appreciate that. Thank you. And guys, everything, Artisan Dental and all the links that Scott just mentioned will be in the show notes below. So thank you, Scott, for being with us. It was a pleasure, and we'll hear from you soon.
All right. Thanks, Michael. Take care.